In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right, switching seats here. Thank you, Samuel. Good reading. Thank you, everyone, for your readings and the songs. My name is Darren. Good to be with you all. Great to have guests with us. Listen, we're going to look at God's Word here now. So if you have a Bible or you have a Bible app or you want to look it up online, it's John chapter 1. That's what we're looking at, John chapter 1. But first, I want to start a little poll, all right? This is not a quiz. There's no chocolate for the right answer, but I do have a poll for us. Just one question. And I'm going to start it now, give you 30 seconds to answer. It's not complicated. What kind of Christmas tree do you have in your home? Don't put it in the chat. Put it right here in the poll. I think you should be able to tick the answer. What kind of Christmas tree do you have in your home? Is it real or is it fake? I'm always curious what the answer to this is going to be. Is it real or is it fake?
10 more seconds. All right, here we go, folks. Real and fake. And here's the results. 44% of you have the real trees. Can you see those? And 41% have a fake. That's pretty close, actually. And somebody has a no tree. That's pretty good. All right. Were you able to see those? So the real trees are the winners. All right. Here's why I'm telling you that story. I had a conversation with a friend the other day about their real tree. And it turns out he was looking with his son at the trunk of the tree and just kind of checking out the bark in that tree. And then suddenly realized that's not bark. And as they looked closer, they saw it was just crawling with bugs. So he looked it up online and he discovered that what he had was a whole bunch of these little tiny aphids. And now apparently there's a bunch of kinds of bugs that can be on a Christmas tree. Now, I don't want to alarm you, but there can be actually 25,000 bugs on your Christmas tree. So for those of you who are into the real ones, the Prince family, by the way, we are totally real tree people. So no disrespect here to the real trees, but you may actually have some bugs with you there in the house on your real Christmas tree. And so now I'm just checking Zoom to make sure that anybody start like slowly taking the bubbles off the tree or hoovering underneath the tree just to take care of it. The truth is my friend had to look closely to see it. He had to look. That's the point. That's my point of this opening kind of illustration here. He had to look closely to see it. He couldn't see it at first glance. He thought he was looking at one thing, but it turns out there was a whole bunch of other stuff right there on the surface. And that takes us right to the heart of the text that we just had read for us. Let me start at the end where Samuel left off, right there, John 1:14. This is the heart of it. It's kind of the theme for this whole series that we're doing on glory. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we're in this mini-series this month looking at God's glory. We've defined God's glory as his life-giving presence and his way of doing things. It's what he's like, and it's what he does. It's, in short, it's God's goodness. And so last week, Jen looked at Moses in Exodus, saying to God, show me your glory. And this week, we're hearing from John, who has spent time with Jesus in the flesh, who loved hanging out with Jesus and seeing what he was like. And John writes, the word became flesh, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, for starters, what does he mean by the word? The word became flesh, but what does that mean? Well, right there in the very first verse of the chapter, John says, the word was there in the beginning. The word, another way to say it would be the full self-expression of God. And it's not just a philosophical concept, it's a person, it's Jesus himself. So John goes on to say that the word was there in the beginning and was with God there in verse 1 and in verse 2, it says was with God in the beginning. And John says the word was God. In fact, just a side note there about the word was, do you see how many times it shows up in your version of scripture there? In mine, it shows up just in these first four verses, shows up 7 times. The word was God. The word was with God, was there in the beginning. So what else do we know about the word from what John's saying here? Let's keep going at verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Just think about that for a second. Think right now about your favorite thing in the world. Might be a person, might be a place, you know, some scenic view somewhere, might be a thing that you actually just love. Think about that and remember that nothing was made without him. Every particle, every cell, every fiber, he made that thing that you love, that person that you love. And the other thing that we see about Jesus, the word, is that in him was life. That's in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And what is that light like? Well, it shines in the darkness. That's verse 5. And the darkness has not overcome it. And how many of us today just need to remember that for this season, especially? You know, here we are. It's December 20th. It's the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, the longest night of the year. You know, it's day one of tier four. And it can so easily feel like the darkness is in, and it's all around us. And we need to remember that Jesus, the Word, is the light of our darkness. And that in spite of the world in 2020, and in spite of how it might look to our eyes, the light has not been defeated by darkness. So maybe you need to remember that. Maybe I need to remember that today. See, when the world gets dark, it is easy to forget that we have seen his glory, isn't it? When your Christmas getaway is canceled, it's easy to forget that we've seen his glory. When you're laying in your sick bed a week before Christmas, wondering if the fever is going to break, or when you hear about another friend or a family member being lost, it's easy to think that the darkness is winning. When you've gone from plan B to plan C and D and E and F for your Christmas bubble, only to have it pulled right out from underneath you, it can feel like the light has stopped shining. And let me tell you, personally, I've had some dark days recently, dark days. You know, Pam and I have been wading into some really difficult stuff in our marriage and trying to make things work and trying to raise kids and trying to get by in one of the most stressful years of life on planet Earth, at least in our lifetime. And, you know, we've sat in marriage counseling together, and I've thought, I just need a light at the end of the tunnel of 2020. So if you're like me, you've probably thought to yourself, even recently, man, when is this all going to be over? And you know what? You're not alone. not alone because John says in chapter 1 that the true light of the world is easy to miss. Look at verse 10. It's easy to miss. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Like those tiny little aphids on my friend's Christmas tree. Sometimes you have to take a closer look or you'll miss it. See, we use words like glory and we try to imagine the full radiance of the sun, you know, planets and galaxies and choirs of angels and thunder and lightning. You know, I was in Psalm 29 this week and it says it like this: the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. But you know, sometimes the glory of the kingdom of Jesus is like a tiny and small mustard seed. It's quiet. It's like the weighty sound of silence after worship. Or it's hidden. It's like a crying baby in a manger. And John says, we don't always recognize the glory of Jesus because we expect one thing, but we get another. Does that sound familiar? Painfully familiar, right? So I'm speaking a word to us at the end of 2020, a year of completely unmet expectations, to say that sometimes the goodness of God, his hidden glory, is right before our eyes, but it's wrapped up in those unmet expectations of ours. See, in John's world, the guy who's writing here, people were expecting a conquering political savior. They wanted what they called the Messiah, but what they got was a carpenter's son. They expected liberation from Rome, but what they got was forgiveness from sin. And they expected victory over their enemies, but they got Jesus suffering cruelty and death on a cross. Friends, 'tis the season of unmet expectations. And in a funny way, that's the glory of it. John says it's the true light of Jesus in the world is not just easy to miss, it's easy to reject. Verse 11 says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And maybe that's you right now, or someone that you know. And if so, my prayer for you is that God would show you in his goodness, his glory, and give you the eyes to recognize it and receive Jesus in a new way. It's not just easy to miss, it's easy to reject. And yet, and this is such a turning point in the passage, you know, and yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, Jesus was born of God so that we could be born of God. So when we believe in his name and we become his children, born of God with the full rights of being his children. That's what verse 12 says. So I'm taking a moment just to look at your faces in Zoom. And you know what I see? I see sons and daughters of the King. I see the children of God. So let me just say it again. If you have recognized Jesus for who he is and received him and believe in his name or trusted him with your life, then you have the light of Christ with you, the life of Christ in you, and the full rights and status of a child of God. See, here's the miracle of Christmas. The Word became flesh. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Do you ever pause and just think to yourself, why did he have to do it that way? You know, if God had a message for humanity, why not just paint it in the sky or drop it in a surprise album like Taylor Swift or appoint a political leader to write his message into law and to make it the law of the land? Why not just do it that way? Why send his only son to become human and to suffer like the rest of us? And to answer that, I want you to look no further than your Zoom fatigue. That's right. Let's talk about the elephant in the room of 2020. Nobody likes Zoom. Why? Because we want to see people. We want real life connection. We don't want to sit in the waiting room and wait for the host to let us in. We don't want to take our mic off of mute. We want to say something. You know, it's two-dimensional and it's awkward and it's not the way it's supposed to be, right? Because we are humans and we are hardwired for relationship in the flesh, not pixels on a screen. And so for all of you Zoom haters out there, this is your moment. First of all, well done. If you're on this call tonight, you've made it this far, you're still with us, and that should be celebrated. But you know, that desire for human connection, that longing for face-to-face contact instead of distancing, let it teach you something. God said, I'm not going to do it any other way. I'm going to show my glory through my son by sending him to earth to bubble with humanity for a while. Jesus came in the flesh and he came to live with us. That is just amazing. So the writer says, we have seen his glory. Jesus is God's glory. Jesus is God's goodness in the flesh. It's his glory with skin and bones. And so when John says in chapter 1, verse 14, he says, we looked at Jesus and we saw what God was like. We saw God's glory. So let me just remind us again, we've been using this definition that God's glory is his life-giving presence and his way of doing things. It's what he's like. It's what he does. It's his goodness. And so when John looks at Jesus, he sees what God's glory is like. And so later on, John writes a letter to a church. It's the book of the letter of 1 John. And in the very beginning of that, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. For life appeared, he continues to write. We have seen it and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was from the Father, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And this is what's so absolutely stunning about all of this. If you read the first chapter of John, John's gospel, those first four verses say, in the beginning was, and you get all of this stuff from the past, right? In the beginning, God was there. The Word was with God and was God and made everything. And then all of that, and then verse 14, the word became flesh and came close to us. And we've seen his glory and the glory of the one of a kind son who came from the Father. And what is he like? That's what John goes on to say next. What is he like? He's full of grace and truth. And just look at that word full. Don't skip over it. It's such a big word right now. It's not half measures. It's not just a little bit. It's not, you know, limited by anything that the government can suggest. He's full of grace and truth. And that word grace means his steadfast love, his mercy, his goodness, his covenant love. That's another word for it that you see all through scripture. He's full of grace and he's full of truth. That word just means his faithfulness. You know, he's steadfast and he's faithful. And so let me ask you this, where have you seen the glory of the one and only Son in your life? Where have you seen his goodness? Where have you seen his grace and his truth? And I know that might seem like a difficult question to answer on a day like today and a year like this year. But you know what? If you look closely, if you can recognize and receive him, I think you can see it. So I'm going to share two things with you from my own life right now, and they're both fairly personal. So please forgive me if you feel like that's self-indulgent. But tonight I want to share with you where I've seen God's grace and truth in my life just in the last few months. And hopefully this encourages you, but I also want to invite you to try two things if you haven't tried them before. So the first one, I have seen God's grace. Okay, I went on a retreat away at New Chapel Farm at the end of October, back when we could get away. Remember that? And I was at a low point. I was at a low point personally. I was feeling tired. I was discouraged. I was out of sorts. I was feeling like a stranger to myself. And also, I felt like I was hurting the people around me, even though I didn't want to be. And so one of those nights before I went to sleep, I cried out to God. And it wasn't exactly the words, Lord, show me your glory. But I did need to know his goodness. And so my prayer was something like this. Lord, I need you to fill my cup. My cup feels broken and cracked. And so, Lord, even if it's painful, can you please show me where that crack is and do the work of forgiveness and healing that I need in my life? And you know what? In the quiet hours of that night, the Lord Jesus showed me grace. And I won't go into it all now. And I think partly because it's a work in progress, you know, there's still stuff to be done. But I can say that the Lord met me where I most needed to see his glory. And he did it by hearing my cry for help and by putting a gentle finger on that place in my heart and in my mind that most needed it. And do you know what that was? That was a moment when the light shined in the darkness, and I was reminded that the darkness has not overcome it. So listen, I don't know how that lands with you, but I invite you, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, to call on the light and life of Christ to come and to show you his glory, because he is full of grace. That's part one. Part two is I've seen his truth. In the last 6 months of the year, I've been on a search to know Jesus full of truth in a new way. And so I picked up my Bible and I started a daily Bible reading plan. And I just so enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading it cover to cover. And Psalm 119 says this, says, "Your words are sweeter than honey to my mouth." And you know what? It was really like that for me. I just had a taste for it. I was excited to get to it every day, sort of like eating dessert first, you know? And so here's what I did to help me pay attention. I read my Bible with a green highlighter. Here's one of them. And I was on a lookout for God's goodness. You know, I was looking for that word, covenant, right? Which means steadfast love or mercy. And you know what happened? My pen ran out of ink. And I had to get another one. And then I had to get another one. I saw his goodness and his steadfast love on nearly every page. There's a few other highlighted colors in my Bibles now. If you know Miami Beach, or if you're a designer, that's a little bit what my Bible looks like now because of that quest. So listen, take that as an encouragement, but also take it as an invitation. You may already be aware, but a number of us are planning to start a Bible read through on January 1st. And it's just a few chapters a day, but you can listen to it in the app, or you can read it in your Bible and see God's glory for yourself and how the whole of scripture from start to finish speaks of Jesus, who is full of grace and full of truth. And look, I know this plan may not be for everybody. And so I don't want to be telling you that you must do it. If you have another thing going already, that's great. So please, I just want to invite you to consider it. And there's more information about that in the weekly news, or you can contact me or a member of the leadership team, and we'll get you hooked up. And if this isn't the one, please, I do want to just invite you to consider and reflect on how you can live in 2021, being intentional and looking at God's word and living in the truth of who Jesus really is. That's because he's full of truth. It's a great idea to build in routines that are consistent no matter what comes our way. And life is throwing all kinds of stuff at us. So look, I'm out of time, but I want to end by fast forwarding to the end of time with a scripture from Revelation, when John, the same writer that writes this gospel text that we've looked at today, has a vision of heaven and he writes it down for us. And because we're talking about God's glory in scripture from beginning to end, if you listen to Jen's talk last week, she reached from Exodus to Jesus on the cross. And today I'm reaching from the beginning of creation to the birth of Jesus all the way to the end of time with Jesus, full of grace and truth when he sits on the throne. And in this vision, he's described as a lamb. So this is from Revelation 5. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sun and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" Let me pray for us. My friends, tonight, as you hear my words, I bless you in the name of Jesus. As you go through difficult times, to remember the Word who was there at the beginning, who became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and who is full of grace and truth. And I bless you in that same name to know the one who sits on the throne now, forever worthy to receive praise and glory. And Father, I ask that you would make that so in our lives today, individually, together, for your name's sake and for your glory, because you are worthy. Amen.